This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Friday. Congratulations, you have made it. Another weekend is here. 5 o'clock on Fan Run Radio. I'm Russell Smith alongside Bear Cruz, along with you for another hour or so of The Drive. Top 5 at 5 this afternoon. Brought to you by Citizens National Bank. Here's Jake Miller.
Number 1, the Oklahoma and Texas move to the SEC talk has popped up even more, with reports coming out that Texas and Oklahoma are about to inform the Big 12 they will be leaving the conference as early as next week.
Looks like it's happening. Looks like the remnants of the Big 12 are scrambling, looking for lifeboats. Looks like a brand new era of college athletics is upon us. We thought this NIL deal was going to be the big thing, and it is a big thing, I suppose, but this is probably going to be bigger, I think, in the grand scheme of things. And college athletics will never be the same. It's just going to be different.
Has there been any rumors about where they're, who they're trying to hook up with?
Apparently, Baylor and Texas Tech have reached out to the Pac-12. I saw a report about that. It's interesting because I was thinking about that while we were talking to Aaron Torres, and on first glance you would say, oh man, they're going to get left behind. They are the defending college basketball national champions.
Somebody is going to want them.
I mean, that's got to count for something. It's still a small school. They still don't have a ton of history of success in really anything.
Put them in the AAC.
I mean, you want to parlay that into – The name of the game is getting into the Pac-12, the Big Ten, or the ACC, including assuming the SEC is closed for business. All those schools are scrambling to try and maintain Power 5 status, and they're not all going to be able to. So
I could see Baylor joining the ACC. I think it'd be a better fit than the Pac-12.
Now that geography doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
No.
Now that we got these airplanes.
Yeah. It is going to be hard on the non-revenue sports.
Oh. Imagine being on the volleyball team, taking that bus ride up to Boston.
Ugh.
Hell, going from Waco to, Westwood to play UCLA in volleyball on a Tuesday night.
Sounds terrible.
Not great.
Oh.
Number 2, the Tennessee alumni basketball team dubbed the Volunteers will take the floor tonight at 7 o'clock on ESPN. In the basketball tournament against the men of Mackey from Purdue.
Purdue could go to hell.
Hate those guys.
Why do we always end up matched up with Purdue and everything?
You know they're going to have a bunch of Ivan Drago looking white boys on their team too, man.
Yeah.
Know it. You've seen all these guys. I don't know any of the guys that are going to be on their team, but I know what they look like. You know what you're tuning into tonight, right?
You know exactly what you're going to get.
See a bunch of Ivan Dragos, and then you get a couple of guys, Big Hog or Conzo.
Did you see the roster, our team? Like, we've got a couple of guys on the roster that I've never heard of.
Like who?
I'm trying to pull it up. Kevin Bridgewaters.
Who the hell is that?
Vaguely familiar.
Omar Weaver.
Never heard of him.
And here's an interesting. Yeah, here's an interesting name that's on our team. Josh Selby is on the team.
Well, were these the guys that kind of rode the bench, kind of like a Zach Turner did in the early 2000s?
Do you remember Selby? Because he was five-star superstar point guard that Bruce Pearl was going to get before he got fired. He may have even committed to us, but he was – Pearl had him coming. He went to Kansas and played in the NBA. I'm not sure what his deal is now.
Why the hell is he playing for us?
I don't know, but I haven't watched any of this tournament yet, but excuse me, I ate one of those granola bars again during the break, and I just got the –
why you do that?
Because they're delicious. But apparently several of the other teams have guys on them that aren't connected to the states that they're playing from. So it's like most of the guys are Tennessee, but not all of them. Still got Cam Tatum, Chris Lofton, Duke Cruz, John Fields. I saw where Lamonte had to pull out. Skylar McBee, Tyler Smith, Wayne Chisholm are on this team. So you will see.
Wheezy.
Yeah, you'll see those guys tonight at 7 on ESPN.
I'll be watching.
Number 3, Tennessee football's Cade Mays, Alante Taylor, and Paxton Brooks have been named to the preseason All-ACC team.
Yeah.
Last time we had a West Side Rebel make the All-ACC team.
What are you doing, man?
Sorry.
Probably Chuck Ramsey back in the day, maybe. No, he played at Wake, didn't he? Anyway, congratulations to those guys. We need them to lead. We need them to be awesome, obviously, and we need other guys to step up. Are there any other guys that you could see making the postseason All-SEC team?
Jalen Hyatt.
Bayless.
Jalen Hyatt.
Maybe Joe Milton.
Jabari Small.
I mean, that's the more important one is the postseason All-SEC team. We'll see what shakes out.
Jabari Small's on the –
If Joe Milton makes the postseason All-SEC first team, then you got to figure we've had a good year.
Yeah.
And number 4, after refusing to receive a vaccine for COVID-19, Rick Dennison is out as a Minnesota Vikings assistant coach. Dennison, who had served as the Vikings' offensive line coach and run game coordinator the past 2 seasons, is believed to be the first NFL position coach to leave his team after choosing not to receive the vaccine.
Yeah, wow. you know this is going to ruffle some feathers, man. I'm surprised that, you know, I saw a picture of him too. Like, he's an older gentleman. I wonder what his reasoning is behind it. And yeah, I know it's going to ruffle feathers, and people are going to say, "Well, he, you know, you've got the freedom of choice, and it's a shame that, you know, they're taking away his, not respecting his freedom and everything." And it's like, okay, well, they kind of are. They're a private organization. You're free not to get the vaccine. They're free to demand you get the vaccine and fire you if you don't. So, I don't know. I think it's interesting that we're finding out more about the teams that have broken the 80% threshold that Greg Sankey talked about earlier in the week. And guess who's at the top? Alabama and Georgia. So
they got more leverage than the other teams.
I'm sorry, what?
I think especially Alabama's got more leverage than anybody else.
How so?
Get called into Saban.
Oh, well, Saban. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I still think, and you know, I still think you're going to see most of these teams get well above that 80% threshold. I'd be surprised they didn't get above 85%, which is apparently the rate you have to get to stop testing, which seems like an important rate to get to. But once these guys get in camp and you've got the majority of the team is vaccinated, and you know, there's going to be some peer pressure to fall in line and get your shots and everything. So I could be wrong, but I'm very hopeful that these guys will get their shots and we'll be able to have uninterrupted football season.
Do you think that they would be as draconian about it if the NC State deal hadn't happened at the World Series?
No.
I mean, think about this. Like, I saw where Brian Harsin, he struck a pretty defiant tone relatively speaking, I guess, when earlier this week he basically said he's not talking about it. He wouldn't answer whether or not he's got vaccinated. He said he's not going to talk to his team about it. And they were believed to be around 60% vaccination. Meanwhile, Alabama's up to 95%. And, you know, this is just – it illustrates how your decision affects everybody else. And we're all in this together. We're all tied together on this little blue dot. People, you know, the same people who are saying, well, it's a personal decision, it's a personal right, you got to respect my freedom. Many of the same people who were lamenting the lockdowns because of the economic impact this time last year. And, hey, fair enough. We can have those conversations. I don't think we should have them, but obviously in other spheres they are having them. But think about the if that's what you're worried about, the economic impact, think about the economic impact of, say, you've got a home game with Auburn this year. And those home games are worth, what, $3 million to the school, well over $10 million to a local economy in the SEC. And all of a sudden, Auburn can't play. They've got a forfeit. All of a sudden, you don't have that game. Think about the economic impact of that.
That's where servers make their money.
So
where everybody makes their money.
True.
Again, I'm hopeful that people will make what I consider to be the right choice and get vaccinated. I think it's going to happen, but it's not everybody, and there could be some hard decisions and hard consequences that come with that. So interesting. What Rick Dennison? He's their O-line coach.
Yes.
Huh.
And number five, police respond to a report of a loose alligator in a condo building. At 7 a.m., officers called to high-rise condo to help a hysterical resident stuck in a stairwell where she came face-to-face with an alligator.
Oh!
Prior to arrival, alligator was confirmed as a realistic fake. It was actually a gold statue.
What?
Just imagine walking down an elevator or walking down a flight of stairs, and you see an alligator that looks realistic.
Yeah.
You're going to be pretty freaked out, but the thing I'm going to do, I'm going to run out of there. I'm going back to my apartment. I'm going back to my room. I'm doing something. Yeah. I'm not just going to stand there and hysterically yell at an alligator.
Yeah.
No, and you get back to your apartment, you call, you know, wildlife.
And if you're standing there and you're yelling at it and it's a statue, at some point do you not realize, wait a minute, this thing doesn't...
It's not moving.
It looks a little different than I thought
not
it would.
Breathing.
And it's not moving at all.
Well, another thing, too, it's gold. Like, it's not it's not green. Even green or
the
whatever.
The Golden Gator.
The Golden Gators.
Hey,
where was this at?
You know what they say.
Go Gator.
Gold Gator.
She ended up in jail, didn't she?
Go Gator.
Gator lady?
I think so. Yeah, she was corrupt. Yeah.
Sticky fingers.
Go Gator.
Yeah. Going to jail, old lady.
All right. Thank you, Jake. That is the Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive, where it's Financial Freedom Friday. We had a blog post on our Twitter feed earlier today about tips for making sure that you're equipping your children with the right financial tools so that they can have financial independence. Go read more on our Twitter feed, at Fox Sports Knox TN. You can read tons of CNBTN blog posts until your heart's content online at CNBTN.com. It's Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. 865-546-8200. Your number, if you want to get up with us, we'll go open lines the rest of the way here. Obviously, talking about conference expansion has been the topic that has taken over the college football universe and world. And we have talked a lot about it here this afternoon. And like I said earlier, it's just, in some ways, it's sad to me as a traditionalist and somebody that grew up loving college sports. It's sad to me because this does feel like it's the end of amateur sports. I know amateur has taken on, it's fashionable to throw arrows at amateur sport. And I don't have any problem with players getting cashing in on their name, image, and likeness or anything like that. But it does feel like this is we're transitioning, and these SEC schools that we've all grown up loving are shifting to a more professional model of sport. Doesn't mean it won't be fun. Doesn't mean it won't be great. Doesn't it might be better. I don't know. None of us really know. We're all on a journey to find out. But it's just the end of an era, man. It's never going to be the same. We've got
we all saw it coming.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, people have been talking about the 16-team Super League. I remember hearing about these conversations on the radio in the 90s.
Yeah, that's when we thought it was silly, and we all laughed about it.
Oh, it was speculative, man. Like, I think Jackie Sherrill talked about it back then, and maybe even Lou Holtz. And I didn't laugh at it. I thought that it was a ways off, and it was. Here we are over 20 years later, and it's about to come to fruition.
It's just that TV money. We're not on Jefferson Pilot. We can start talking about billions of dollars.
It's interesting to me because so many of these trends that we're seeing mirror what has happened across the pond in Europe with European soccer, which is their version of SEC football. It's, you go back and look at the English soccer clubs 50 years ago, and it was these small, locally oriented club teams that would play each other in these huge rivalries with their crazy fan base, and it was very tribal and regional and interesting like that. And then in 1992, they formed the Premier League. They figured out that, hey, we can televise this stuff. If we have a really tight TV package, not only are we going to show these games in England, but we're going to show them in Europe and elsewhere around the world. And all of a sudden, a huge influx of cash came in. And then came Champions League. And what you've got right now in college football is very analogous to that. The SEC is becoming the Premier League. And the college football playoff is becoming the Champions League. It's all about making Champions League football. If you're over there in Europe, the Manchester Uniteds and Liverpools of the world all want to play against the Juventuses and Barcelonas and those teams from other countries. And so they have that and those huge dollars that get funneled back to those clubs, and they use them to buy stadiums and hire expensive coaches and buy the best players in the world. And what's happened over there is you have in England a situation where, yeah, there are 20 teams in the Premier League every year. There's realistically only four or five that have any chance of winning the title. Well,
right.
What do you have here? It's Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma. Pretty much every single year. Every now and then, an LSU, a Notre Dame, a Georgia, somebody like that will break through. But it's
slot.
It's four or five teams that are running the entire sport. And that's what happens when you get into this amount of money in a sport. We've already seen it happen across the pond. And that's what it's going to continue to be. And I just wonder, from a Tennessee fan's perspective, are we going to be able to crack that glass ceiling? Are we going to be able to break through and compete with those teams, or are we going to be one of these field fillers, your Evertons, your Burnleys, your Aston Villas, that, yeah, they break through and have nice seasons every now and then. They can even score an upset occasionally over a quote-unquote big team, but over the course of a full season, it's always going to be Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma. I don't know, but
yeah. But
we've seen this before.
Expand that playoff out. I think that to me is going to be the game changer. You got 16 teams. You're going to have upsets. You see it in the pros every year. Teams that are supposed to go all the way to the Super Bowl, they get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. You're going to see upsets. It's going to be. I don't know. I just think it's going to be a lot more exciting.
Do you think it'll ever expand beyond 16?
No.
be on a 16-team playoff?
Yes.
I don't know, man. That'd be hard. That's a lot of football. But that's the other thing that's happened over there. Those soccer teams play year-round. There's no off-season anymore. Those guys are always hurt because they just play constantly. There's like a two-month off-season.
Yeah, but they don't have the extreme violent head-to-head.
They don't,
collision.
But they have more soft tissue injuries because it's more running, and it's just constant running.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with you there.
And I hope the challenge for these people is, and I don't think they don't care about it, but what the challenge for Greg Sankey and even Mark Emmert and his other conference commissioners, these schools, is if this is the route we're going to go, and clearly it is, there's no turning back at this point, but if we're going to turn college football into a professional sport, they've got to figure out they've got to figure out a way to do what the NFL has done, where you create parity and everybody's got opportunity, everybody's got a chance, and not do what they've done in Europe, where it's the same four or five teams dominating every year, and the rest of the teams, there's no hope. It's just not going to happen.
Right. Hopefully they'll get it figured out.
865-546-8200, your number if you want to get up with us. 546-8200. Let's get a call from Andy. Good afternoon, Andy. You're on the drive. Andy, you with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, man. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I was going to say, we were talking about conference expansion. You guys had brought that up. So I'm a purist as well, and I'm thinking, you know, I wouldn't have expanded A&M. I wouldn't have expanded A&M in Missouri. But since we did, if we're going crazy and we're adding teams, the two I would like to see are bring back Georgia Tech, and I would also like to see Louisville. What do you guys think about that?
They wouldn't have done that because, you know, like we've been saying pretty consistently throughout this show, at the end of the day, it's a money thing. And LSU and Georgia Tech do not bring or are not going to bring anywhere in the same solar system the amount of money that Texas and Oklahoma bring to the table.
10 years ago, Andy, it was all about TV markets, and it was about bringing Missouri so that you can include the St. Louis TV market, and it was about bringing Texas A&M so that you could include the Dallas-Fort Worth market and several other big markets down there and get all those eyeballs. And it's about your TV deal. This time around, in a day and age when it's all about streaming, it's about content and creating matchups. And so they're banking that by bringing these huge brands of Oklahoma and Texas and nobody else, you know, Louisville and Georgia Tech aren't on that level. Nobody would argue that, right? So they're banking that by bringing those two teams, that's going to create over 20 more huge matchups every single year for the SEC to cash in on through its TV deal. So that's what – apparently, that's what they're looking at now, and it's interesting that it's changed. I'm with you from a competitive standpoint, from a geographical standpoint, I think Georgia Tech would be – I think they'd be a good fit. I'll one-up you, Andy. I say bring back Tulane. This league needs some more doormats.
Tulane, yeah.
This league needs some more doormats. I want to go to New Orleans every now and then. How about that? But it's not going to happen.
Bring back Sewanee then, boys.
I mean, it's not going to happen, though. I mean, I think this is it. I think they're going to stick with these 16 for the foreseeable future. But
it's too late to go back. You can't go back on A&M in Missouri. You know what I mean? And I get the draw of the other two teams. I just thought it would be fun to have because from a Tennessee perspective, that helps us a lot, too, because if you got Georgia Tech in Georgia's backyard and you got Louisville in Kentucky's backyard, you know, that creates friction there.
Yeah.
In their own state. They don't have that upper hand anymore. Of course, they would veto the heck out of it, get everybody they could behind it. But as what's going on right now, you got posturing and meetings with people not allowed. But I just thought that would be fun and would create a lot of fun matchups.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, they regionally and culturally, it's a good fit. But that's not what these people are thinking about anymore, man. They've only got dollar signs in their eyes, and it's. We'll see, man. I hope it works out for them. I hope they don't kill their sport.
I know. That would be horrible. It's like my favorite thing, right? I mean, if we kill our sport, are we going to have to rename our conference? Are we going to hold on to SEC because Oklahoma and Texas are in the South? You know what I mean? If we had those guys. Is that the grip? They're still Southern somewhat?
Why not? Yeah, I guess so. I don't think they'll change the name, but if they do this again 10 years down the road and you start at, I mean, you know, where does it end? Why not go get Kansas? Let's have Kansas in the SEC just for their basketball alone. Let's bring in, why not a California school?
Why not? Anyway, guys, thanks.
Thank you, Andy. Why not? Let's get UCLA in here. Let's get in that LA TV market. Right?
Let's get Notre Dame.
Sure. I mean, it's so crazy, right? I mean, just everything's on the table. But have you seen the basketball players' shirts off photo?
No.
One is disturbing.
You know how they put the every year the basketball team has a photo where they put it on social media and they've all got their shirts off and they're all flexing?
Yeah.
The photo that for the last 4 years, everybody's looked at Eve Pons and been like, wow, dude's put together.
Yeah.
They put that out.
French freak.
Nobody, I mean, our guys look in good shape. There's nobody like like Pons on the team. Fulke is well on his way to a really nice dad bod. He's going to enjoy that here in about 15 years.
Figured he'd end up looking a lot like you. Skinny with the pot belly.
I like that Cars song. She's a lot like you. What was that off the Candy O album?
I think so.
Justin Powell, the Auburn transfer?
Yeah.
Makes me look tan.
Oh, he's like white.
He is white as fluffy egg whites.
Wow, man. I mean, if he gets too close to one of those heating lamps at McDonald's where they keep your Big Mac for a couple of hours before they sell it to you, he gets too close to that thing, he'll get sunburned.
Yeah. How small does Kennedy Chandler look?
He's smaller. I tell you who's got an impressive physique, if I can get a little creepy here. Can I do that, or will you guys hold
Absolutely.
It against me? Can we geek out over
Do your thing, man.
Dabunje. Quentin Dabunje. Ripped. Cut up.
Oh, they work hard.
They're calling him Frenchie. That's his nickname.
Huntley Hatfield.
He's impressive. He could probably, I'm sure he'll bulk up and trim up over the course of the next several years.
Next year's picture.
He's standing next to Josiah, and Josiah's cut up. He's got a six pack.
Yeah.
Oh, that Meshack kid. He's put together. All right, this is weird. I'm sorry.
I'm expecting big things out of Triple J this year.
Well, he's not wearing any wrist. You know, he had wrist surgery, and he's not wearing any splints or braces or cast or anything. Fulke's got a big cast on his left hand. Urosh looks like every stereotypical Eastern European gangster you've ever seen. He looks like one of the guys who's guarding the brothel in Taken. He's one of the guys Liam Neeson had to kill to get his daughter back.
He always reminds me of Jim Carrey off Cable Guy.
Okay, yeah, I could see that a little bit.
I don't know if he's that aggressive. But
I love that the basketball scene in the cable guy. I mean, that's
oh yeah,
that's right up there with like the baseball scene from Naked Gun is one of the funniest just sports movie scenes.
Yeah,
he's warming up, running back and forth on the lines. Let me get loose, guys.
In the shuttle.
I love this game. All right, we got to take a quick break. Stay with us. The drive continues. We'll get right back to these phones coming up next as you listen to Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, the drive continues rolling on a Friday. Big weekend coming up. You excited about season two of Ted Lasso, Bear?
I need to finish season one. I'm excited about seeing what's her name.
Who?
The chick that played, she's in Game of Thrones. The blonde.
Really? You like her? She does it for you?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Have you not seen pictures of her?
I mean, I've watched the show.
What?
Well, I mean, not my... Hey, to each his own. I mean, she just...
A British accent?
It's always attractive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's easy on the eyes, bud.
Okay. Good for you, man. My wife's fired up about season two. I think we're going to be doing that tonight.
Because she's not some 19, 20-year-old trumpet or trollop that, you know.
What?
Half naked on Instagram. What? I mean, she's a classy lady.
Okay. Good. Good for you. You like them classy, huh?
I like them closer to my age.
I try not to be rude. I don't want to cast aspersions on any female's looks, but that was my that would be my objection. She's just of a certain vintage.
Yeah.
But,
classic hey, Jaguar.
You go antique it, buddy. You do what you got to do.
Antiquing.
Let's get Buster in here next. Buster, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Russell Bear,
what's
happy
up?
Dog days of summer.
Hot Bear, out there, man.
Yeah, I'm on vacation, thank God. First one I've had starting option day today. I've done this in my second year. I've done it with no vacation from Thanksgiving. But that's what happens when you're an old man and your kid's 30-something years young and they live in Texas.
Buster's busting gosh, it. He's working it, man. He is. That's why they call him the working man.
Blue-collar Buster.
I, you know, and by the way, I saw that Dickie Summerack this past week, and I yelled at him. I said, how's your son doing? He said, he gave me a thumbs up, and the sad thing that he was a pastor that made a boo-boo in Charleston, I guess. So,
yeah.
He's on his recovery. He had a bad accident, head injury, but he's kicking butt, getting better, so that's a good thing. Anyway, absolutely. Guys, I want to call about our 16-team conference. I think we have 18 teams. I think we're going to have Oklahoma legislature stay, and then we're going to go with another team. And, guys, I think we should go with a legacy team of Virginia Tech or West. What about Clemson? No, Clemson's too elite. But I think Virginia Tech fit for us than West Virginia, guys.
I don't think there's anything the Oklahoma legislature can do to stop Oklahoma from joining the SEC, Buster.
We haven't talked about West Virginia much, but I wonder what the conversations are like there, man. I was watching a video earlier today of their new football facility. It's just immaculate. It's really nice. And, you know, they bring a little something to the table. I could see them making a 16-team playoff. occasionally, if they ever got, obviously, like when Rich Rod was there, they would have been in that conversation. But they gotta save themselves, man. They gotta get in.
I think they're probably gonna end up in the ACC, wouldn't you?
I mean, it seems like a good cultural and geographic fit. It doesn't seem like we have room here, but they better find a life raft. I'd be worried if I were them.
Man, I will be talking to WLN. We are at the beach on Thursday night, the first game, Bowling Green. And I've not had many people really interested in buying my tickets at a discounted rate for newbies to Tennessee football. But WLN always runs an organization that helps out first-timers, Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts, and wants to go see Tennessee football. And so I'm looking to do that with my first two game tickets. Everything's on phones now, guys. No longer we get tickets for football or basketball or Talladega. It's going to be the stuff we had at the Tennessee baseball games and playoffs. But, WLN, we love you. Thanks for calling in, and we love you all, man. Have a good summer.
Thank you. You too, Buster. Enjoy that vacay.
Buster.
My man. Kicking his – hasn't taken time off since Thanksgiving. Whew. I took 2 days off last week. I'm already burnt out. Think about taking some time off next week, Bear. How does that strike you?
I mean, you can't spell vacation without Russ Smith.
T-Carp.
What do you need?
You breaking up there?
Uh-huh.
Where are you at right now, buddy?
I'm at the Split, rolling into town.
Oh, really? Well, they don't get cell phone
My
reception
Chance,
out there, evidently.
Chancellor. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we got you. Tell you what, let's get T-Carp in here. T-Carp, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Bear, you still doing halfway decent?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing fantastic. I'm getting ready to get phenomenal. Right,
phenomenal. Woo. Well, did you see who Burchett had in his office today that I was telling you about the other day? You see that, Russell?
I saw your tweet. They run some sort of missing persons project.
Yes, that's exactly right. Remember, they run that missing person project, and they link it to Bigfoot, basically, but... But yeah, Tim Burchett's been a big part of that, and a lot of it's been up in the Smoky Mountains, man. It's been crazy. So
now wait, are we talking about actual people that have gone missing that they're looking for?
Yes, and it's called Missing 411.
Are they finding any of these folks?
They've found some. They have found some folks, not necessarily with their lives.
Well, that's,
it's 411 missing cases, and It talks about these cases and all that. But yeah, a lot of these folks are just missing.
Well, that's good. Did you guys see the family in China that found they had this huge kidnapping problem in China when they had the one child policy for years and years and years? And there was this family who's I think he was like 1 and a half, maybe 2, when the child was kidnapped. And they kidnapped this child, and the father for over 20 years has never stopped looking, has been crusading, would drive across China on a motorbike with these handmade banners, have you seen my son, basically. And I can't remember how they found it. Like, did the DNA match and everything. They found him, and he's living with this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's grown up. He's like 30 years old now. And, I mean, it was a beautiful story.
That'll break you down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'll make you get misty. Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good to hear. So, let's get into sports. Is the Texas-Oklahoma thing, is that a done deal? I mean, you don't float things out there and have all this press if it's not a done deal, right? Or is that just me expecting too much, but assuming too much?
I mean, ever since it got floated out there the other day, it's just, hour by hour, it's picked up more and more steam.
It feels,
they would have shut it down.
Yeah, it feels to me like 90% T-Carp, like not completely done. It feels pretty far down the tracks. Now, could some crazy legal or political thing or, you know, fan revolt or something happen last minute, I suppose, but it feels pretty far down the tracks at this point.
Right. So if they come in, does the SEC basically go to the NCAA and say, you have no power here anymore, especially with the name, image, likeness?
And I hope so.
The rest, I mean, do who else other than the Big Ten and maybe a little bit of the ACC, I mean, who else would you really want to watch on college game, you know, other than SEC games now?
Well, it's like Russ said, the SEC is a premier league.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and you're not going to have a fan. Their fan, the Texas and Oklahoma fan bases, are not going to revolt about. I mean, they're going to be. They're over probably. I would imagine the majority of them are happy as hell to be joining the SEC.
Right. They'll get to face premier teams and all that. And I mean, Oklahoma will be, you know, on 3:30 games and. I mean, it'll be big for them. And if they lose two or three games, then they'll still have a chance to win the SEC. I mean, who knows? They still might be able to play for an SEC title. And if you win the SEC championship, you're going to make it to the playoffs. So, I mean, you still have a chance. So, it's very interesting. I don't hate it. I don't know if I like it, but I don't hate it. I haven't made up my mind yet.
It's kind of how I am, yeah.
I just think anything that says to the NCAA, ah, heck with you guys, and gets these teams that actually make the money and to make their own rules, I'm fine with that. I can't believe that Jamie doesn't like the name, image, likeness thing. I really agree with Jamie on so much. I don't know why he didn't like it. Is he really on the – he thinks that the scholarships are enough?
That was kind of the vibe I was getting off of him when he made that call. It kind of, I mean,
that was weird.
Surprised me a little bit. Yeah, I just thought it was kind of out of left field to sheep it up for the schools.
He's a big anti-government, pro-freedom guy. That's definitely out of left field from him. I'm all about these kids making money. If they want to, I kind of laugh at the players that didn't like the fans a year and a half ago, and now they're begging the fans for money. I think that's kind of funny. But other than that, I think it's going to be really good for college football, honestly. And the people that say that, oh, it's taken away from the game and it's not tradition and all that, like, guys, get in line. This has been a business ever since the 80s, and it's probably before that, and let these kids make money. Y'all be good.
Thank you, T-Car. Appreciate the phone call. We got to take one more quick timeout here. We'll be back with a little hot take, cold take, and maybe another phone call or two as well before we get out the drive. The shocking conclusion coming up next on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hey, it's Russell Smith here for Rickard. Hey, make sure everything's working in tip-top shape with a Blue Water Climate Control new home comfort audit. Sorry. Froze up there. The new home comfort audit, man. It'll save you a lot of money. Even if, everybody's got that one room in their house that's just like so much colder or so much hotter. I can't get this room to cool down. Blue Water come over and they'll do exactly what it says. A new home comfort audit and say, okay, well, this is why this home's getting less air. This is why this room's getting less air. This is why this room's getting more air. And here's what can be done about it. It'll save you cash in the long run. 865-299-2290 is their phone number. And again, Blue Water Climate Control is the website. Wrapping up Friday afternoon edition of the show, let's grab a call from Roger. Roger that.
Hey, guys. Russ Barron. How y'all doing?
Just pretty capital, good. Roger.
Well, good. Good talk to y'all. Russ, I just want to ask you a question about the water thing, about the air conditioning. I just want to ask you, Russell, see if you know answer this question or not. I'll pull for a minute. I don't care real quick for a minute, real quick. And I just want to ask you, say if one person is hot, one person is cold. I just want to ask you, say if one person wants it cold, another person wants it not as cold. How do you fix the problems. If one person is cool, one person will be cooler. How you fix that problem, you think, wrestling, you know what I'm saying?
Like in a house?
Yeah.
Well, person is cold, put on a sweater.
The person that's cold goes into the warm room. The person that's hot goes into the cold room, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that. Or you know what you do? You know what you do, Raj? You call Blue Water Climate Control and get yourself a new home comfort audit. And they come over, they tell you exactly what you can do. That's what Jeremy and the crew does over there every single day. Comfort audit, man. They're getting it done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Blue Water
great.
Style. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. It is. I just want to ask you, Russ, about the news about Oklahoma about me coming here. I just want to ask you about that. I don't know, Raj. I don't either.
It doesn't really matter because I think it's going to happen. Bear's all for it.
Oh really? Bear all for it?
He's excited.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Is he? Okay. What is it about it, Bear?
Thanks, Raj.
I want to see the Longhorns marching to Neyland Stadium and get the brakes beat off.
Thank you, Roger. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you, Jake Miller. Thank you, Bear. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime up next from 6 until 8. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again Monday right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive is a production of Fox Sports Knoxville. If you'd like information,